the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We must never forget that the devil is the prince of this world. And by this world, we do not mean God's creation, but we mean those people who have given themselves over to mortal sin, and especially to habits of mortal sin, who live normally in mortal sin and have no contrition for it. That's the world, and he is the prince of those people. We are often upset by the political problems in our nation and in the world, or by cultural problems, the world that we see and in which we live. And we should be upset because many of these things, most of them, are outrageous. And we should strive against their influence. But at the same time, you must remember that the devil is the prince of this world, and that God will permit him to create an anti-Christian civilization which will produce an antichrist. And the forces of antichrist have been active since the earliest times. St. John in his epistle mentions the antichrist and how he is working in the world. And these forces have gained a great deal of territory, that is, in the minds and souls of people over the past 400 or 500 years, especially since the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation. And we must understand that these forces are coming together more and more now, aided by a great deal of modern technology, and that they are well on their way to producing the anti-Christian state and world, and the antichrist as the head of it. And that all of this is predicted and is permitted by God. And so no matter how much we fret, and no matter what we do, this is going to take place. And so our world is not going to get any better, it's going to get worse, until, in a sense, it has this baby, which is the Antichrist. And this is produced ultimately by the devil, who is the prince of this world. And as prince of this world, he is able to marshal the forces of all of the sinners in the world against the church. And this he has efficaciously done with the permission of God. When we consider the number of sinners, it is clear that by its own power, the church could never survive against these forces. If the church were merely a natural institution, it would not even exist today. For it is helpless against these forces, because original sin is in man, inclining him to mortal sin. The broad and easy path is mortal sin. The narrow, difficult path is obedience to the law of God and maintaining the state of grace in our souls. And so the church could never survive without the help of God. And it is only by the power of God, therefore, that the church has survived and will continue to survive. But in order to survive, the church must invoke the power of God. Just as we must pray for our eternal salvation and pray for the graces to go to heaven, so the church must pray to God for the assistance that she receives against her enemies. An army is useless without its weapons. So is the church powerless against her enemies without supernatural weapons. And the church prays for this supernatural help in the Mass. If you look at the prayers of the Mass, you will see very often the request by the church for protection from enemies, the invocation of the various saints, or protection from enemies. The great prayer to St. Michael the Archangel is to protect the church from her enemies. We must pray for this, just as you must drive your car to the gas station and fill up from time to time. So the church must go to God every day and fill up. That is, request these graces. For the church is primarily not the buildings, but it is primarily the souls of those who belong to the church. And as you must pray for the salvation of your own soul, you must pray also for the protection of the church from the enemies. And failure to pray for your own soul will result in the damnation of your soul, and failure to pray for the church will result in the lessening of the church. The church cannot be destroyed. It is against the permission of God. But the church can undergo a great lessening, a setting of her sun, so to speak, which has happened in the past 450 years. It can undergo a weakening as the souls of those who make up the church themselves weaken. And that is due to lack of prayer. And the church also prays for this protection in the divine office, and thirdly, in the Holy Rosary. This is the month of the Holy Rosary, and we have the feast of the Holy Rosary this coming week. The history of the church in the Old and the New Testaments is full of cases in which a small, weak people overcomes a far superior enemy only with the help of God. Moses and the Egyptians, Joshua and the Canaanites, Joshua who brought down the walls of Jericho by processing around the wall seven times with the Ark of the Covenant and then blowing the trumpets at the command of God, and these walls came crashing down. And archaeological evidence shows that those walls came down quickly. They collapsed. And they did so by the power of God, at the command of God to pray in a certain way. David against Goliath, Gideon against the Amorites. The Amorites were a pagan people who occupied the Holy Land. And the Jews had to flee into the mountains. And Gideon was raised up by God to conquer the Amorites. And he raised an army of 30,000 Jews to conquer the Amorites, which was a large number in those days. And God, by a series of tests, reduced that number of 30,000 to 300, which is 1%, and instructed Gideon to use various subterfuges in order to deceive the enemy to think that the Hebrew army was a great army that they could never overcome. And by obeying God's instructions concerning certain noise-making devices, which you can read in the book of Judges, he convinced the army of the Amorites that they were very numerous, and they fled before the 300 Jews at the command of God and with the help of God. Judith against Holofernes. Holofernes had this enormous Assyrian army in front of the little town of Bethulia, ready to overrun all of the Holy Land and take Jerusalem. And Judith was a widow. And God raised her up to go and plead the case of the Jewish people before this monster, Holofernes, who had wreaked havoc on peoples before him and slew many people in towns and villages and overran the whole area. And Judith was given by God, it says in the book of Judith, a special beauty. And when she went over to see Holofernes, the soldiers who led her to the tent of Holofernes were struck by her beauty. God gave her a magnificent beauty. And there she went, in all innocence, to Holofernes without any evil intent. And Holofernes was so struck by her beauty that he prepared a meal and sat her down, and much wine was presented until he became drunk. And she, again with the strength of God, took his enormous sword, picked it up, and cut his head off. And with that, when that was discovered the next day, for she took his head and put it in her servant girl's bag and brought it back to the Jews and held up the head of Holofernes. And when that was learned by the soldiers in the camp, they fled. And Judith is a prefiguration of the Blessed Virgin Mary. For she overcame something that in natural terms is impossible to overcome, solely by the help of God, and by a shoestring, so to speak, the Jewish people were saved by the power of a widow, helped and aided by God. Esther against the Persians. The Jews were meant to be slain by the Persians, but Esther, having gained the favor of that Persian king, preserved her people. The Maccabees against Antiochus. Antiochus was a much greater force militarily than the Maccabees. But Antiochus, the great perverter of the law in the Holy Land, was overcome by the power of God. And why did God do it this way? Why doesn't God rain down money and weapons upon those whom he wants to do well in battle? Because he wants to show his power. Just as in the gospel today, he said, I will show you that I have the power to forgive sins. I have spiritual power. I will show you that I am God. And he tells the man who had the disease to get up. In every intervention that God makes among men, he wants to teach them a lesson. And he wants to humiliate them and make them understand that men are dependent upon God for everything that is good. In the New Testament, we see the conversion of the Roman Empire, starting with 12 uneducated Jewish men. The turning away of Attila the Hun by the mere word of Pope St. Leo the Great. And we don't know to this day what he said to Attila that turned him away from Rome. The victory of Charles Martel against the Muslims in France, driving back the Islamic scourge for centuries, until now the apostasy of Europe and their devotion to the birth control pill is going to open the gates to Islam once again. Don't be surprised if one day St. Peter's Basilica is a mosque. Don't be surprised. It has happened before. Many Catholic churches have become mosques. Europe is a dying race, and it has a dead religion in the sense that it no longer has its Catholic faith, which gave it its life and its civilization. Those things are dead in Europe. And the birth control pill is slowly, slowly snuffing out what was once a great place. and those who are multiplying with their religion and with their babies, that is the Muslims, will one day take those lands over. So do not be surprised if St. Peter's Basilica, if you see the banners hanging with Muslim inscriptions on them. You have also St. Dominic against the Albigensians. The Albigensian heresy, you may not know, was something that could have overrun all of Europe, just like the Protestant heresy. It was very dangerous. But St. Dominic, with a little band of Dominicans, was essentially responsible for turning that back by the power of God, the power of the Rosary. There was the Catholic League against the Turks at Lepanto. And what did St. Pius V do? He ordered all of Europe to pray the Rosary and organize Rosary processions, because the European League, the Catholic League, was full of infighting, was much weaker than the Turks. They were not as well equipped as the Turks. They were not used to fighting as much as the Turks. Everything natural would have said, the Turks are going to win. The Venetians were fighting against the Spanish, and the Florentines were against the Venetians, and various other little turf wars grew up among the Catholics. It was not a pretty picture. What saved the day was the Holy Rosary. It wasn't anything in those human beings. It was the Holy Rosary. And then there was the victory of Jan Sobieski, the great Polish general, against the Turks in Vienna. And again, the Pope at the time called for the Holy Rosary. Again, it was a victory against enormous odds. And the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary was established as a result of that great victory in the 1600s. So if ever there is a time to pray the Rosary, it is now. The Church has never been more assailed than now, and has not seen such small numbers since her beginnings. Handfuls of people, here and there, dotted around the world. Yet, in your own lifetimes, some of you, you recall enormous churches where there may have been 10 masses, just like this one, a day, upstairs and downstairs, loaded from 7 o'clock in the morning until perhaps 12:30. And look at what has happened to the faith just in this city. A few pockets here and there of resistance. Most of the people have gone over to the heresy of modernism. Never have we been so reduced. Never has the Catholic Church seen such a reduction in her history. And this is all because of Vatican II, which managed to do more harm to the Church in the past 40 years than all of the heretics combined and enemies of the Church combined over the centuries from the first to the 20th century. If you put them all together and count the number of souls that have been destroyed and churches desecrated, churches handed over to the power of heretics, if you count all of that together for 20 centuries, you do not equal what has happened in the past 40 years. So if ever there's a time, it is now. Look around at the world as we slide down toward the Antichrist. The world gets worse and worse every day, whether it is politically or whether it is culturally. The devil is in complete control. Look at the crowds that hailed the passing of Michael Jackson. A golden casket for someone who, in every respect, turned your stomach. This is the world under the control of the devil. It is in complete deep and utter disorder. And so if ever there's a time to pray the rosary, it is now. Even this week, the Society of St. Pius X sits down across the table from the modernists in Rome, the modernists who have done all of this damage over the past 40 years, who have given away our churches, who have stripped them and made them places that look like Protestant churches, who have destroyed the faith in countless souls, who are the enemies of the church, agents of the devil. They're sitting down across the table from these people in an attempt to become part of them. This week it starts. We saw this coming back in 1983, and that's why we made the break in 1983, and here we are facing the reality of it. Now, if we had stayed with them, where would we be today? Where would our church go? To the local bishop? What would we priests do? Go out and beg if we don't go along with the modernist arrangement? It's here, it's today, it's this week. They're sitting down with them. And that's very, very disturbing, because these are people who have received the grace to see. They know. They have the traditional Mass. They have the traditional sacraments. They have real priests most of the time. And they know, they should know. But they are making ready to compromise with these very forces of the Antichrist. For these forces of the devil and of the Antichrist enlisted clergy in order to change the Catholic Church so that it would fit in nicely with the whole program of the Antichrist. And those people across the table from the members of the Society of St. Pius X are these very people who destroyed everything that we hold right and good and true and supernatural and beautiful in our lives. And that is very disturbing. So even there is failure, there is weakness. And if ever there's a time to call upon the strength of God, it is now. And the Holy Rosary is the way in which you do that. And so be faithful to your rosary. Say it every day. Say it devoutly every day. God is severe in his punishment of nations and of persons who have at one time known the gospel but who have abandoned it. Look at what he did to the Jews in the Old Testament. Time after time gave them severe punishments until finally he destroyed Jerusalem. The Chaldeans came under Nebuchadnezzar and leveled it, burned the beautiful Temple of Solomon, and they were pulled away into the capital of the Chaldeans, Babylon. And then, having forgiven them again, what did they do? They crucified the Savior. And even then they had a grace period of about 40 years until finally Jerusalem was destroyed again. Infidelity is something that attempts to mock God. God puts up much more with impurity and weakness than he does with the hardened pride of infidelity, blasphemy, apostasy, and heresy. For in that way we imitate the devil the most. And so he has punished Europe by two brutal wars in the last century. And he will deal with them still more as they continue in their apostasy. And he will deal with our country as well. All of these things are coming because all of the elements are there. God is not mocked, as St. Paul says, and he will dispense his justice in due time. And you must have the strength to get through the times that are coming. The little children, probably, that you see here, as adults, will have to live through the times of the Antichrist. Probably. And that might mean great persecution. It certainly will. Perhaps living in poverty. Doing things to avoid having to conform to the strictures and laws of the Antichrist, the New World Order, under the control of the UN, which, as Benedict said in his recent encyclical, should be given teeth. The UN, which promotes artificial birth control and abortion throughout the world, Benedict says it should be given teeth. Well, who is it going to bite with those teeth? It's going to bite you. It's going to bite those who do not go along. And this is the man with whom the Society of St. Pius X is sitting down this week. The man who wants to give teeth to the reign of the Antichrist. If, and your children and your grandchildren, these young people will have to profess the faith in these times that are coming. And you must give them the strength. And that strength will be found in the Holy Rosary. And that is why I recommend that to you today. Every day, every year. It's easy to become lax about the Rosary. But you must see its value and pray it. The Church, in her divine office on the Feast of the Rosary, prays this beautiful antiphon, which I will leave you with today. O powerful Virgin, like the Tower of David, 1,000 shields hang upon it, all the armor of the brave. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.